Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 28th, 2011, episode 238, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie and Jennifer. Hey, did you guys see I posted the new Warhorse trailer that they just put out up on our Facebook page? Are you there?
I'm here.
I think what we lose Jamie?
Geez, I'm right
nobody's
here.
Talking
I'm here.
To me.
I said,
okay,
I'm
talking to myself
actually,
this morning.
Sorry. I said I was going to actually go watch it right now. Should I go watch it?
Yeah, go watch it and then come back with your tears flowing down your cheeks and your tissue box out.
Really? Is it a tearjerker?
Well, this whole movie is going to be a tearjerker. I love what Mary Bangle said as a comment on our page. She said, "My heart is pounding. There should be a special showing for equestrians so when we are all weeping into our popcorn, the rest of the crowd doesn't think we're totally nuts." And she's right about that. I don't think it's going to be just horse people that are weeping into their popcorn on this one. Go watch the trailer once while Jennifer tells us what's coming on and let me know what you think.
Okay.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we've got a bit of extreme horsemanship to talk about with Erin Bolster. She is, to our knowledge, the world's only living grizzly bear wrangler, and she'll be bringing us the story of her breakout performance that launched her career. And next up, Christy and Dr. Jones of thehorse.com will be stopping by with another appetite-arresting array of vaccination advice. So stay tuned, Glenn. Additionally, supplementing today's laugh-a-minute schedule, Glenn and Jamie will be providing plenty of headlines and high-spirited stories for your entertainment, and please feel free to contribute.
Well, there you go. And don't forget that people can call us, too. The call-in number is 347-637-3238. You can call us anytime, talk about anything. We'd love to hear from you. That's 347-637-3238.
Okay.
Well, we have a daily. Did you watch it?
I'm watching it right now, and I don't even have the audio turned up, and I have goosebumps all over my body, and I'm getting emotional just watching the horse charge through the battlefield. Oh, wait, now he's chasing after a girl. Oh! He's rearing up. He's telling him that.
Oh,
he's
you got
to
have the music
either.
Turned up, though. The music is half of it. The music is fantastic on this.
I have to stop. Yeah. I can't do it. I'll lose the whole motivation for this show.
I know. Isn't it something? That's coming out December the 28th. So We're looking forward to that. We're going to make that one of those weekends where we get our listeners to go watch it the same weekend. We're going to have a virtual viewing, and we'll all come back the following week, and we'll talk about it on the air, because this is going to be the movie. They're already saying that this is probably going to be the movie of the year. This will win the best picture of the year and everything. They're already predicting that.
And really?
So I'm going to do this right now. To Steven Spielberg, may you not put any fake Winnies into the War Horse movie. That's my
That's never going to happen. You're going to be hearing Winnie and right and left from horses. Again, only horse people know that horses don't whinny as they, you know, they're galloping and you pull them up to a halt. They don't go, ee-hee-hee-hee. I mean, they just don't. Spend some time with a horse. But maybe the war horse is different. Maybe he's not going to whinny when he stops.
Even Spielberg, we have to at least hope, you know, that he would get it. We have to hope. We have to pray that he'll get it. But it's cool that he's making this movie. It's cool that the book and the play has become so popular. And it's cool it's about a horse, just like another one we're going to talk about here in a couple of minutes. But I also wanted to give a shout-out to all the girls over at Horse Junkies United. That's our blog over there that we have on a regular basis, horsejunkiesunited.com. They did a video called Behind Closed Doors, a barn tour with Jessica Phoenix that they just put out this morning. So I watched that this morning. If you want to see Jessica give you a little barn tour, she has a very nice barn, by the way, give you a little barn tour and introduce you all our horses. It's a neat little piece and a neat little video. You can find it at horsejunkiesunited.com. So go watch
Hold
Jessica,
on.
She's a sweetheart.
Was that her daily whinny?
Yeah, that was two of them. I had two of one and a half, sort of. Steven Spielberg was an apple pie.
You didn't play the Daily Winnie thing. You went from talking about Steven Spielberg to talking about Jessica Phoenix. You've got to play the Daily Winnie music to separate it, Glenn.
Here's the one for you.
So my Daily Winnie goes out to Barbara Evans. Our listener, I think it may be our only other listener that likes baseball, because certainly you don't. So Barbara posted on our Facebook page that, Jamie, it looks like both of our teams are pooping out, mine being, of course, the Atlanta Braves, and hers is the Red Sox. She says, fingers crossed. I don't know, but I think it's going to take more than fingers crossed. I think it's going to take getting on my knees and saying a prayer to the good Lord saying, please, I shouldn't pray about baseball. I really shouldn't. But my God, if they could just win one game, just one, it would clinch the wild card series and they would go to the playoffs. But no, what happened yesterday? What happens, Glenn? They lose 7-1 to the Phillies. Now it is coming down to the very last game of the season. If they win this game, they go on to wild card success. If they lose, they go home. And which team are they playing? The, like, hardest team in baseball, the best team, the Phillies. So, Barbara, it's going to take more than fingers crossed, my friend. It's going to take an army. It's going to take somebody, like, every time a Phillies player gets up to bat, if there could just be a minor earthquake. Just something like that.
I actually saw that posting yesterday, and you know how I love baseball. So I actually, time this season, went and looked at the statistics and had a chuckle. I did have a chuckle. I have to say, I did have a chuckle.
Yeah, it's not looking good. They're trying.
What other sport, Jamie? Can you be less than 50% and still go to the playoffs? What other sport?
All
can
of
you
them.
Suck and still go to the playoffs.
All of them. I'm pretty sure you can go to the playoffs.
Usually in football, they're more than 50% to get to the playoffs.
Well, I don't agree with the whole wild card race. I do think it should just be the best of the best, and the wild card is kind of a crapshoot. I probably hate the wild card because the Braves have lost in the playoff run to the wild card team, and it just doesn't seem fair that you can lead the entire division and then go fall to somebody who just had the best record. But they do have a good record, and they won't be less than 50%, Glenn, at all, to go to the playoffs. So I'm just frustrated. Sorry. The Braves are 89-72. They need to be 90. Sorry.
All right, now that you got that out, you and
thank you.
And oh,
and
by
Barbara,
the way,
I'm
and Barbara, I did look at Boston too. Not so good. Not so good.
Yeah, not so good.
We used to live up there, and boy, if you don't root for baseball and you live near Boston, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble if you don't root for baseball up there. And just like here in Lexington, I don't like basketball either. And boy, you don't say that to anybody here in Lexington. You know, University of Kentucky.
Oh my God. I loved it. I loved just saying that I hated basketball going to UK. Because that's where I went to school, and people would be like, do you bleed blue? And I'm like, no, I bleed red, and I don't like basketball. And they'd be like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? Why
know,
are you in Lexington? I'm like, the horses, dude, the horses. I don't care about your basketball.
They're real big into their football either, but they really stink at football. So it you can get away with saying you don't like their football team, but basketball, don't ever say that here. We get beat up. Hey, I have a couple of things. We have a very exciting announcement, and we got some yesterday. Some people sent in some really bad ads. Well, our prize this week for the winner of really bad ads, everybody's going to be excited about this, is the $80 champion, Snowman, the Horse That Inspired a Nation by Elizabeth Letts. We had her on Monday. We're going to be giving away one of her books. Brand new one, right off the shelf. It's going to go out to you. If you're the winner of really bad ads this week, so get your ads in, start looking. You want to send them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line. So this book, I talked to the PR person last night. She called up to thank us. And she's a big fan of the show, too, Jamie, by the way. She said that Elizabeth loved her interview with us, thought it was a lot of fun, but she is just being swamped with interview requests. I saw that Reuters just put out a review of the book this morning. And that went out on the wire services. She's going to do all right by this book.
Well, and you know, Glenn, I've been reading it nonstop. Actually, it's pretty much all I did yesterday was sit on the couch. I'm supposed to be, like, taking care of horses and moving in and you know, organizing and cleaning. No, what did I do? I sat on the couch for, like, 4 hours reading this book. It is just such a page-turner. And I did realize that this book is going to be very successful. When my husband came home and I had, you know, quickly cleaned the kitchen to make it look like I'd done something during the day while he's at work. but the
we
book
all know
was
that's
sitting on the coffee
do.
Table. Oh, totally.
Jennifer does the
we
same thing.
We can do nothing, really. Yeah, do nothing all day and then all of a sudden make, like, one big motion right before he comes home to, like, make it look. And then they come in and they're like, wow. This place looks great. You've been working really hard. You should rest. I'm like, I should. My feet really hurt. Whatever. So I take the book, and it was sitting on top of the coffee table, and I knew this book was going to be successful when he said to me, are you finished with that book yet? Because when you are, I really want to read it. I'm like, you want to read a horse book? He goes, it just looks like the greatest. It's what a good story. The $80. He didn't even know anything about it, but reading the title and looking at the front page, he's like, I have to read that. I'm like, oh my gosh, this book is going to be huge. Yes, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be the movie that inspired a nation. Show jumping is going to be crazy. Snowman is the best. And I realized too, Glenn, I don't know if you remember this. I don't remember it live, obviously, but I remember seeing clips of it just in kind of like Best of Tonight Show stuff. Do you remember before Johnny Carson hosted The Tonight Show, he would sub every once in a while and come on and be the like sub host. And have you ever seen a picture of Johnny Carson climbing up on a horse and sitting on the horse backwards?
Yes. And a matter of fact, I think that Best of clip is still on YouTube someplace.
That, my friends, is Snowman.
Is that right?
Can you believe that? So I'm reading the book, and I'm not going to spoil it, but at one point, I mean, it's just a little blurb about the fact that he gets, at Madison Square Gardens, he gets invited to come and be on The Tonight Show because the story of this $80 plow horse that's, you know, becoming a world-renowned show jumper is such a popular story, and it's at such, like, a downtrodden time in U.S. history. It's the book is so reminiscent of Seabiscuit to where, you know, it kind of is a horse that inspired a nation, much like Seabiscuit did in the 40s. So it's really cool. He actually, because their van was parked far away because they couldn't afford the parking at Madison Square Garden, he actually took Snowman and led him from Madison Square Garden all the way down the streets of New York to the set of The Tonight Show and brought him on stage at The Tonight Show where Johnny Carson was hosting. And they said that all he did was just kind of stand there and blink at the camera. And after Harry DeLayer assured him that Snowman was gentle, that's the scene where you see Johnny Carson climbing up on him, sitting on him backwards. Isn't that hilarious? So it's such
wow.
a good book. I'm absolutely in love with it. I think it's going to be such an amazing movie.
Yes, I do too. I think I can't wait. I can't wait, and I'm sure that, you know. And congratulations, Elizabeth. She seemed like a nice lady, and they did get in touch with the Alltech National Horse Show. Remember, we tried to get them together because we had Mason on, who is the president of the horse show, and we
mm-hmm.
couldn't have her on. Well, they did talk. The PR people talked yesterday, so they're trying to work out.
So they're trying to work on that. Yeah, and the other thing is we also, for all of our listeners who have been, you know, asking about what book, like Rebecca Klopping posted, like, what book are you going to read next? What book? And then I said, well, obviously I should read Snowman next online, on the air, and just do a little bit of Snowman at a time. They said a big fat N-O to that one.
Yeah, they're really not real excited about you reading it on
Can we read the book? No. We didn't even finish the sentence. So, yeah, not going to happen.
Well, maybe you could, do you have a paragraph? You said you had a paragraph you want to read. Was that what it was, talking about the Johnny Carson show?
No, not that paragraph. I just read this paragraph in this book yesterday, and it was just so, it's just such a great, it's a summation of what the book reads like and how eloquent Elizabeth Lett's writing is and how it just kind of gathers the personality of Harry and Snowman kind of all together and just lets you know, he had such a difficult life before he even got to America, being what with the, you know, the war and Nazis and fleeing. He was a Dutch immigrant. And so he had gone through this whole entire life before he even got to the U.S., and then started this whole nother life, and then Snowman came into the picture. So I just wanted to read a paragraph. This is him actually at a horse show in the warm-up area. And it's just a cool paragraph that kind of summarizes the whole book, and it'll make you want to read it. You want me to read it?
Yep, go ahead.
And now a dramatic reading of the $80 champion by Jamie Jennings. Here we go. Harry sat astride his old teddy bear, reins loose, the same look of unflappable calm on his face that the spectators and competitors had seen there all week. Nobody at the show, except for Johanna, knew about the time that Harry, as a boy, had driven a beer wagon past Nazi checkpoints with contraband grain hidden inside one of the empty kegs. Nobody knew about the time he had found his brother, Jan, lying still as a stone in the field after touching a cultivator made live by blown down electrical wires. Nobody knew that Harry DeLayer, had World War II not intervened, would probably be on the Dutch riding team, riding the European circuit, getting the best horses and looking toward a berth for the 1960 Olympics. You could not read any of that on Harry's face, but you could not miss the look of steadiness. It was something shared by man and horse. Those two understood endurance. Both knew you could do no better than to bet your all. As the riders and horses circled the schooling area, as overdressed and interfering owners strutted back and forth, as grooms scurried about flicking away bits of dust from their charges, Harry and Snowman seemed above the fray. The horse was relaxed, and so was the man. They would help each other come what may. So far, not a single horse had achieved a clean round, and any faults, and the horses would enter a grueling jump-off, but a clean round would win the title. Oh, isn't that just awesome?
That's very good. She's a good writer. Very good writer.
Really is.
Hey, yep. I'm going to have to have you give a call back. You're breaking up here and there. I'll do some other announcements here, and then we'll get you back on here very shortly. So just give us a call back.
Okay.
So Jamie will be back in a second. I wanted a couple other announcements. Chrissy Joy, our friend who called us last week, she was our horsey friend that lives in Texas and was in the modeling competition for the Texas Motor Speedway. announcement came out yesterday. She came in second place, Jennifer. She just missed winning.
Did she get any money for second place?
No, unfortunately. Yeah, but she said they mentioned that they might actually use her in some other stuff because they were happy with her performance and everything that she did. So that was cool. And
thanks, everybody who voted.
Yeah, thank you all our listeners who helped support Chrissy Joyum. It's kind of neat that she got to be second place because she had some tough competition there. So good job, Chrissy. It's Wednesday, so I always have a couple of different studies that I've found over the past week. Well, I have one that's going to make all horse women happy. There's nothing horse women like more than walking out to the barn in the morning with a cup of coffee or stopping at, you used to stop at Dunkin' Donuts. And I know that a lot of them stop at Starbucks and things like that. Well, a study that was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine said increased consumption of caffeinated coffee appears to decrease the risk of depression in women. So there you go. Yes, and this was not a small study. They studied at Harvard School of Public Health and other colleges. They studied 50,000 American women with an average age of 63. And what they found is that if you had four or more cups of caffeinated coffee per day, you had a 20% decrease in the relative risk of depression.
You know what you also had, Glenn?
What's that?
You had an 80% increase in trips to the bathroom. Oh, my God.
Have you had your coffee yet, by the way, baby? Just checking.
I'm drinking it right now, and I'm on my second cup, but I have to pee so bad. I'm not going to make it to the song.
And we all know those people. Jeez, I knew them when I worked in offices, especially if you work in an office. You know those people that just drink coffee all day long. I mean, they have 12 cups. That's probably excessive. Four is probably the most you want to do in any one day. And then the other study I found that was sticking up for Man Nation here is, and I'll just read the first sentence, for women pouring scorn on their male counterparts susceptible to the man flu, be kind on them. It may be due to a genetic inferiority. We really do get man flu. We get sicker than you is what it says. It says women have a built-in advantage to their immune system because they have two X chromosomes rather than one. And that's possible evidence for why they live longer and they're more likely to recover quicker from illnesses. So us men who are like, we have a cold, we're dying, and you're always picking on us about it. Well, it's true. We get sicker than you. So there.
Really, what that says to me is that you're the weaker species, obviously. I mean, let's put it all together here. You have a Y chromosome, which apparently is weaker than two X's. So what that says to me is that we must be stronger, smarter, more powerful, and interesting, and tougher. So I'm sorry for you. Don't use it as an excuse. Like Harry DeLayer would say, you're only as good as your try, okay?
And now we have an excuse for not trying so hard because we're sicker.
Oh, you go ahead and use that as an excuse all you want, my friend. But
one other thing real quick. I just wanted to say thank you to Jennifer. And we have to give her a little round of applause for putting our next interview together as fast as she did and with a lot of competition, which we'll talk about. But I just wanted to give her a shout-out and kudos to my wife because she worked hard to get this next interview we have coming up. And as we'll find out. She had some serious competition, too.
Glenn, that's when you do this. Ready?
Well, it could be that or that.
Yeah, we're definitely excited to talk to our next guest. She's going to be on, and she's the one, her name is Erin Bolster, and she's the one who chased off the bears and saved the boy's life. And we're going to talk to her in just a minute because she's kind of our hero. She's awesome. But before we get to her, Yeah. We have a couple of news stories for you. I just wanted to let you know that the British Horse Racing Authority, we talked about this not too long ago with Frankie Lovato, the jockey, talking about banning whips in horse racing. It's becoming a very outspoken thing. It's been, you know, a problem in horse racing. It's been a drama. Like, some people say ban them, some people say don't. Well, the British Horse Racing Authority has now not banned whips, but they have tightened the whip rules. As far as the amount of times a whip could be used during a race, it's half the amount that they can use it for as well. So the new rules introduced say that you can use a whip 7 times on any flat race and 8 times in a timber race or jumps race. And only 5 times after the last furlong. So you can't go whip, 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 whip. So they're actually, they're doing something over in Europe about it.
Well, good. And, that, you know, that's one of the compromises I think I remember us talking about with Frankie, was to limit the use. Not to ban them entirely, but to limit the excessive use of whips. And that sounds like what they're trying to accomplish there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a step in the right direction, I think. And then the other thing I saw that's really cool, and you might have seen a little bit of this at the World Equestrian Games. I'd never heard of it, but it's called the ID system, EYE, capital D, system. And it's going to be officially launched this year. And it is an iris scanner for a horse. And then with that iris scanner, an identification code pops out, which is electronically stored along with some photos, and that's going to be part of the pedigree registrations.
Oh, okay, so yeah. They were demonstrating that at the wagon. I did get to see it. It apparently, your iris is just like a fingerprint. You know, everybody's is different.
I had no idea. I think it's kind of cool, though, because, you know, I've been looking at horses with one of my clients, and we've been looking at buying horses, and people hand you the papers of the horse. And, you know, honestly, kind of like a Coggins test, you can kind of go, oh, yeah, these are the papers for this horse. But really, you know, if it's a gray horse, it's just a gray horse's papers. I'm having a hard time, like, trying to figure out whether papers are actually go with the horse or not. So that's kind of an interesting way to do it, to do an iris scan. So technology is taking over in the horse registry world. So I think it's kind of neat.
Hey, I'll tell you what we'll do. We have our guest on the line here, and I don't want to hold her up, Jamie. So why don't we'll postpone the commercial to after we talk to her. So why don't you introduce her? I don't want to keep her holding today. I know she's got a busy day ahead of her. So why don't you take it away?
Yeah, she's kind of a big deal. Erin Bolster, we call her the Grizzly Bear Wrangler. She's not just a horse wrangler. She's a grizzly bear wrangler. She worked for Swan Mountain Outfitters, and we'd like to say good morning to Erin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fantastic, and we're so glad to talk to you because we feel like at sometimes when there's a big breaking news story that we because our show's in the morning, we kind of head off some big names. We got you before who? What are you doing later today?
Well, it's not later today. Later today I have a local news interview, but on Tuesday of next week I'm going to be on Letterman. Probably Tuesday. It's not a firm schedule yet. We're still working on some logistics as to whether Tonk is also going to be making an appearance.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I'm sure you had no idea, but let's back up a little bit and let's start from the beginning and tell everybody your story and what happened.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, I work for Swan Mountain Outfitters, and we're based out of West Glacier, Montana, which is right outside of Glacier National Park. And we do have a large bear population in that area, both grizzly bears and black bears, and we see both frequently on the trails. It's not an unusual experience, but usually it's very calm and peaceful. The bears continue eating, or they just wander off into the woods. But on the morning of this incident, I was taking a trail ride out. I had 8 guests with me. It was actually 2 separate families. It was a father and his son from Northern California and a family of 6 from Illinois. And So we were going out on the trail. It's just going to be a one-hour ride, which is actually the shortest ride we offer at that corral. And we rode out about 10 to 15 minutes, and we got to this point in the trail where most of the trail is lodgepole pine. It's very open. You can see a long way, but this is a little more closed in. There's a lot more bushes and huckleberry bushes and serviceberry bushes that are hiding the view. And my horse, Tonk, he just froze, and he wouldn't move, and that's very unusual for him. And about 2 seconds after he did that and he froze and looked off into the woods, this little spike buck deer ran straight toward us, and the deer actually hit my horse in the left front shoulder. And then the deer continued running down the line of horses that was behind me in the trail. And a few seconds after that happened, I saw why the deer was running so panicked directly toward us, which, is, of course, is the wrong direction that deer usually run. And it was because he had about a 700-pound grizzly bear right behind him. And we'd had a very late winter, and our huckleberry bushes were not ripe yet. None of the berries were out, and our bears were really hungry. They're not typically big game hunters. It's not their thing. But this bear was hunting. He wanted a deer. He was very hungry. And so when that happened, the boy right behind me was a little 8-year-old boy, and he was riding a horse named Scout. And Scout's a phenomenal horse, has worked with us for years, always been a very trusted child mount, and still is. But when the deer hit him after he hit my horse, it turned Tonk to the right. The bear and the deer were coming from the left. And all the other horses behind Scout turned around directly on the trail and went back toward home. But Scout, who had turned 90 degrees to the right because of the deer, was now running directly into the woods. But the deer went with the other seven down the trail. So the bear's focus shifted from the deer to Scout. And Scout became the new prey. So the bear took off after Scout, never really stopped, actually. He just continued right on chasing and just shifted his attention to Scout. And at that point, all the other horses and people were running the other direction, and I had to turn Tonk back towards the bear and run at the bear, and I kind of cut the angle from the way it happened, and I was able to get between Scout and the bear. And the bear had tunnel vision. He did not even see me or the big white horse at first. He just saw Scout, and he saw hunger. So he was chasing Scout, and I got between them and turned directly toward the bear, and at that point we were about 35 feet apart, maybe a little more, and then he was charging directly at me, so I charged directly at him, and we got about a little less than 10 feet apart from each other, and at that point he finally called chicken, and he spun off to the left. Tonk stopped, and the bear started to do another circle around, because at this point, right behind me, the boy had at this point fallen off of Scout. Scout's training had kicked back in, and he froze the second the boy fell and was standing next to the boy. But the bear was circling back around to come still try to get either Scout or the boy. At this point, I don't know what he was focused on. And so I had to turn Tonk toward him again and charge at him again. And this one was more of a side-on. I charged him on the side and chased him. And finally, he turned and started running away, and he finally continued running away, and I went back, picked up the boy, put him on Tonk, got on with him, and we went back and found his dad and found the rest of the people.
Okay, so God, my entire body is covered in goosebumps right at this moment. I mean, just to hear you talk about the bear circling back around, the boy is on the ground. What is going through your head at that moment?
It was not an option in my head to let the boy get hurt. I didn't know how all of it was going to go, but I knew that that bear's attention had to be shifted to me, that whatever happened, it was going to be me and Tonk and that bear and not that boy and Scout and the bear.
Do they train you at all for this? Do they tell you what to do during a bear attack? Do you have bear repellent with you? I mean,
So there's never actually been an a charge and attack on a group of people on horses by a bear until this day in Montana. Bears are generally scared of horses, so it never entered anyone's mind that we would be chased by a bear in a predatory way. It had never really happened. So there was no training for that. We certainly had training for how to deal with bears that we saw, you know, that were just a little territorial, but never in this sense. We do carry bear spray whenever we're going to be on the ground. We do offer lunch rides and stuff like that. And, of course, we have bear spray then because we're on the ground, we're vulnerable. But when you're on the horse, generally the bears see you as a very large animal and they avoid you. So there was no specific training for this, no.
So
hey, can I ask a question here, Jamie? I'm a Percheron lover. Let's talk a little bit about your horse because, you know, we've owned large Percherons before. And, you know, first of all, did you have any doubts that your horse Tonk, which was a very large cross, Percheron, I think, quarter horse cross, right?
We're guessing on the quarter horse cross. He's very obviously Percheron, but we don't know what else is in there. He doesn't have any papers, and the man I ended up buying him from had just bought him previously from another, Wrangler operation. So he doesn't come with a complete history.
Well, I'll tell you what, he has feet the size of pipe plates. So he's a Percheron. You know, there's no question about that. He's very intimidating, very powerful looking. Did you have any doubts that he would do this for you? I mean, he could have turned and bolted back too, and with the horse that big, you ain't stopping him.
Exactly. No, as soon as I turned him and kicked him, and I didn't even have to actually kick him that hard, I turned him and pointed him at that bear, and he knew what I wanted, and he never hesitated. But I remember thinking, thank God I'm on Tonk, because many other horses would not have done it. But Tonk had always been there. He'd never refused me anything, and he was there that day. I didn't really have time to doubt whether he'd do it. I just had to ask him and see what happened, and thank God he did.
Oh, wow.
So you get on this awesome horse. You go galloping over. You have this whole ordeal. You pick up the boy. You put him on the horse. You get him back to his family, and I was reading kind of what happened to you and Tonk after that whole thing kind of settled down. What happened with you and Tonk?
Well, after it all settled down, we went back to the barn, of course. But eventually, I've obviously bought Tonk at this time, and I knew that day that I had to buy Tonk. So I contacted his owner and bought him. He was more than happy to sell him to me after hearing all the story, and he wanted me to have him very badly too. So his previous owner Scott is a very very nice guy, and so sold him to me at a price I could afford. And so we've been wrangling since. And the first news little article came out, and it didn't really get out of Montana. It was just a local one, and we thought that would probably be the end of that. And then, of course, the guy from Spokane called, and he wanted to do a second article on a different photograph and all that, and then his article is the one that got picked up everywhere. So, and then
wow. You were a wrangler taking trail rides out, probably making not a lot of money, and now you're going to be on Letterman.
Yes, that is the case. It's been a major turnaround.
So, are you going to take Tonk on Letterman too? We were just talking about how Snowman, the show jumper, was brought into the Tonight Show. So, are you going to take Tonk on stage?
We're working on it. We're not sure yet. I actually have a phone meeting with the producers this afternoon to talk about all of that. They're getting some logistical issues worked out on getting him from Montana to New York. But that's, of course, doable, and luckily Tonk is a very good hauler. He doesn't mind travel too bad. So if he does come on the show, there's an option to have him on stage, and then there's an option to pre-film a segment with him outside. So those are both options. But I believe he'd go on the stage, and he'd probably be a complete ham. He loves attention and treats. So.
He probably has the personality of most Percherons, which is pretty laid back and pretty happy to please. So that's terrific. You know, I got to ask you, and anybody that's been in a car accident will relate to this. Once you've been in a car accident, immediately after the car accident, your stomach feels like it's through your feet. Did you have, were you that way when you picked up that boy and you got away from the bear and you realized what had happened? Were you shaking? Were you a mess?
I had probably the largest adrenaline rush I've ever had in my life. I felt, it wasn't so much like a car crash. I felt that. It was more like bungee jumping. That's really how I felt afterward. It was just like, oh my God, did that just happen? And it all turned out well, so it was okay, but it was very, very crazy. I was shaking and I couldn't sit down for hours. Everyone was like, "Oh, just sit down and relax now and calm down," and I was like, "That's not possible." The adrenaline kept pumping for several hours, I think.
And so, how happy was that California dad to see you and the sun ride up?
He was extraordinarily happy because he had been right behind his son when the bear came, and his horse had not agreed to stay like Tomcat. His horse, Tank, actually, had headed back to the barn with the rest of the seven horses, and he had managed to get about halfway back to the barn, and he managed to get his horse stopped, and he just hopped off his horse at that point and let his horse go so that he could start running back up the trail on foot to try to come find his son. But, of course, we met him before he got that far, and he was so relieved to see his son. And then, unfortunately, his poor wife, who had their younger son back at the corral because their youngest son was too young to go on the ride, he's only three, so they were back at the corral, and she watched her husband's horse, completely empty, come back to the barn.
Oh,
so that was very scary for her. She had to wait probably a good 10 to 15 minutes for us to recollect and come back to the corral. So during that time, she had no idea where her husband or son were. And so she was pretty scared, I can imagine. And she was very relieved to see us when we got back.
I can't even imagine the fear of a mother. But so getting back to Tonk, say the season ends, there's no more trail rides to do. Where would you have gone and where would Tonk have gone if you hadn't have bought him?
If I hadn't bought Tonk, he would be headed back to Scott's farm in Wyoming. Scott actually does a lot of hunting. He's one of the biggest hunting outfitters in Wyoming. And so Tonk's job in the fall would have been to carry hunters into the backcountry looking for, elk, moose, things like that. And he'd have done that through the end of November, and then he would have gone to pasture with the rest of his herd until spring of next year, when he would have come back to us.
And so, where is he going to go now? And where is he going to go now?
He and his best friend, Elio, that's, I guess, another neat part of the story. My best friend, Kristen, who works at the corral with me, ended up buying her Wrangler horse for the year, too, which ironically is just Tonk's best friend. He's from Wyoming, too. So she bought Elio. So Elio and Tonk, we've arranged to have a nice 6-acre pasture that they're going to have privately for themselves. It's real close to where I live in the winter. And they're going to hang out there and be pleasure horses and go exploring with Kristen and I this fall in Montana and just have fun. And
yay!
Be pampered.
Because these regular horses, I mean, and then they lug around the hunter guys and equipment all winter. They work very, very hard. And
they do. They're hardworking horses.
Yeah, they really are, and I just am so excited that Tonk, is going to be rewarded by having you. Now, how did you get rewarded at the end of this?
They certainly gave me a good tip, although that was the last thing on my mind, but they certainly did give me a good tip. And my employers were very supportive and very happy and everything, and were very appreciative of what I've done, and Of course, they want me to come back next year and and all that, of course. So other than that, I guess Tonk is my biggest reward. The opportunity to purchase and own him is the biggest reward I've had out of this, and I'm really looking forward to having him this fall, and it's going to be great.
I was just going to tell her that, you know, you just truly are a hero in our minds. We've all ridden in the woods. We've all had that experience where the horse turns around on us. And for you to do what you did, and I'm sure you did it without even really thinking about it, but good job and congratulations, and what a wonderful thing you did.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm giving you a big old hug.
I didn't think about it. I just knew what I had to do. There was no choice in my mind. I think any of my wranglers that I work with at Swan Mountain would have done the same thing if they could have.
If we ever go out there, we're going to Swan Mountain, Jamie. We're going to ride to Swan Mountain. They have the best wrangler.
Anyone who's in Montana, we definitely would love you to come ride at Swan Mountain. We actually have 5 corrals in the state, so we can accommodate people no matter where they're visiting, usually around the glacier or Swan area. So we would love to see people out there.
What's their website?
SwanMountainOutfitters.com.
Okay, everybody, go. If you're going to go up there, go ahead and go to Swan Mountain Outfitters, and then you can go ahead and request to be on Erin's ride because she'll save you from bears.
Yes, and I'm located at the West Glacier Corral. But, of course, if you call them, they know that. But I'm at the West Glacier Corral. We then have 3 that are inside the park, and then we have our one that goes into the Bob Marshall Wilderness down in the Swan Valley.
You know, Jamie, you can look at that another way, and you could say, don't ask for Erin because hers is the ride that finds the bears. You could look at that another way.
You could say that. It was actually funny. We have 5 wranglers that are corralled, and 2 of us had the reputation of being the bear guides. It was just, of course, luck, but Brock and I saw bears almost every day for most of the beginning of the season. And then we had a wrangler, my friend Kristen, who only saw 5 bears the whole season. It's just luck, but some people think Brock and I must smell good.
Well, and you say that seeing 5 bears, only 5 bears, she only saw 5. That would be plenty for me. I mean, 1 is cool. So, Erin.
Yes.
Congratulations for doing what you did, and you're a total hero, and we are thrilled to talk to you, and we hope we can have you on again. Once all this calms down, I want to kind of know what this experience led you to, and maybe we'll talk to you before the next wrangle season kicks up and find out how you're doing.
That'd be fabulous. I'd love that.
All right.
Have fun
Sounds
on the
good.
Letterman show.
Yay!
I will. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye, Erin.
Bye.
Wow, she's
awesome.
Terrific. I can see why people like her as a guide. She's probably fun to take a ride with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What a sweetheart. And you just don't know what you would do in that situation, and she took care of business. That's for sure.
Well, we'll keep an eye, too, on Letterman's schedule to announce when she's going to be on next week. That thing always changes. If they say you're going to be on Tuesday, you might be on Friday. So we'll keep an eye on that and try and keep you informed of when Erin's going to be on. We'll have to DVR it and make sure we watch Erin on the Letterman show, hopefully with Tonk. Sounds like they're trying to get Tonk out there, too. That'll be fun.
It's awesome.
Good job, Jennifer, booking that one. She was great. Terrific. Well, let's take a break for our title sponsor today, which is Back on Track Products. And we'll be back with more good stuff. We're going to talk about vaccines. And we just have a whole bunch of more good stuff for you today. So hang in there.
We are sitting here with Bo from Back on Track Products, and thank you so much for sponsoring today's show.
Yeah.
But since we have you here, we wanted to talk a little bit about the mesh sheet. Why don't you tell us why it's important for right now, because the cooler weather's coming up, and tell everybody a little bit about it.
Our mesh sheet is one of the most bestseller we have, I should say. It really makes a big difference on the horses, and it's not just for horses who have a problem. I used to call it the nightly massage. For the increased blood circulation, keep the muscle loose, And all the riders say pretty much the same thing. At the horses feel like they warmed up in 20 minutes before they when they start warming up. So the warm up time is a lot shorter.
So do you wear the sheet overnight, or is it just you put it on for?
Overnight is the best result. The more you have it on, you better you result. Of course, in the summer it's too tough, but then they use it like 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after.
Now, what is so magical about it?
Well, we have a Weltex material, and what I do, they reflect your own body warmth back like a for infrared, some increased blood circulation. And, you know, that helps to reduce inflammation in muscle joints. Yeah.
It solves lots of problems.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a product that lasts so long, the blanket lasts. You can never wash it out. It's melted in the thread. So it's an affordable product, too, if you compare it to a lot of other therapeutic blankets out there.
So if they lay down on it, they stain it, they get it muddy, you can throw it in the washing machine.
Yeah. And, but it's more like indoor. It's not outdoor. We always say
right. Indoor.
People put it under their turnout blanket, but we always say it's indoor products.
Okay. Well, that is the mesh sheet from Back on Track. It's backontrackproducts.com. Thank you very much, Bo.
Thank you.
Well, that's as Jamie said, that's backontrackproducts.com, and we appreciate them being the sponsor of today's show. Well, we have a song for you from our listener and friend, Shay, who plays the fiddle with her band, the Rigel Band. They were highlighted on last Friday's Horses in the Morning show. You can hear the whole episode there. But we thought we'd play one of their fun songs that they did. And we're gonna take it to, and I'm looking for it here in my lineup.
I can tell you're doing something.
I couldn't find it. All right, so this is called Things Are Hotting Up. It's a fun one. She did her brother's in the band, too. And I think they wrote this one together. It's a fun song. We think you're going to like it. And we're going to be back in a minute.
God, as things are hotting up, the Rigel Band just makes my fingers tired listening to that. It's so fast. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Now, listening to that ad with Bo made me want to go buy the mesh sheet. I mean, it sounds like such a good idea. I think I sold it to myself.
There you go. Well, today's highlight show on the Horse Radio Network is the Western Radio Show, which came out yesterday, titled Starnes Quarter Horses. And they, you know, this just goes to show, every time we talk about Western, Jamie, we're in the wrong frickin' side of the house. This couple they interviewed, Jay and Christy Starnes, in the past 3 years have won four $100,000 paychecks in Western Pleasure classes.
God.
I know. In the past 3 years, and they said when they started these $100,000 classes that nobody would win two of these in a row. They have won three of them in a row, and then an extra one, too. So, and they're going to have the chance at winning their fourth this year in a row.
Should I say what I'm thinking?
No, probably
or
not.
Or no.
So,
you still have to ride Western Pleasure. Sorry, go ahead.
Alan made the comment at the end of the show. He said, and he picked on him a little bit about this. I think they were actually friends of his. He said, you know, he said, you win more money for riding so slow. It's unbelievable. Because Western Pleasure is known for the slowest lope in the world. And they win more money for riding the slowest.
I don't care how much money there is. I'm not giving up eventing for that. You give me $1 million, be like, go on the show circuit for Western Pleasure. I'd say, I'm going to let those nice people do it. Sorry.
They were very nice, too. They were very nice to listen to the interview yesterday. So that's it. Western Radio Show. You can find all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Well,
to get Alan to call in because I know he's going to get mad if I make fun of him. So,
actually, I don't think he'd call in about that particular one. He was kind of making fun of them too. So, because you got to remember, Alan's a rodeo announcer, so he's used to a little bit faster. You know, things are usually a little bit faster when Alan's doing the announcing. Hey, I wanted to make a public service announcement here. Horse farm owners need to be aware that there's disaster assistance available from several government organizations in New Jersey because, of course, they were hit by the flooding pretty bad in the hurricane. And there's a livestock indemnity program and an emergency conservation program that horse people both can find help from. So if you are one of those affected on your horse farm in New Jersey, you can apply to one of those places. You can go to disasterassistance.gov is one of the main websites, disasterassistance.gov. So if you need some help, feel free to give that a try.
Absolutely. I'm laughing because I made that comment and Jennifer was strangely quiet. she's very reserved today.
Yes,
I'm really proud of her. More news
today.
More news stories, more news stories. Besides your man flu that's real and that you guys are bigger wimps, Uncle Mo has been training again, and I think he's going to run in a race this weekend. So that's the good news is Uncle Mo's going to go again. I don't know why I'm so infatuated with this horse. It's probably because we're Facebook friends, and he posts stuff all the time.
Okay. That's the reason, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is. You know, if you're not friends with Uncle Mo on Facebook, you got to go look because he writes things as himself. And I'm going to try to find a post from Uncle Mo, but it'll be things like Uncle Mike won't let me use the computer, so I haven't been able to post very much recently, but I just grabbed the computer and I'm hiding in the back of my stall, and I just want to let you know that I worked with Uncle Johnny and I was really fast. It's like, this is his most recent post, okay? This is Uncle Mo's most recent post. Hi, friends. I worked with Uncle Johnny. I went really fast. Fastest work of 79. Uncle Johnny was telling me to slow down a little, but I pretended I didn't hear him. Uncle Todd asked Uncle Johnny why he let me go so fast, and Uncle Johnny said it's because he couldn't slow me down. Ha ha. Uncle Mike came by and watched. Then he took me out to graze. I love it when he takes me out to graze. And he lectured me about only going fast on race days, and I agreed with him. And I guessed him. I told him I understand, but if I didn't, obsessive and overprotective Uncle Mike would have called me day and night, and I'm not going to lose the Kelso. Do you think I went too fast? That's Uncle Mo. How can you not love this horse?
Sounds a little bit like the Black Stallion, you know? That sort of reminded me of when you were reading it there. And they have both had a
Black
similar
Beauty.
Will.
Hello.
Oh,
Black
yeah, the
Beauty.
Black Beauty. That's right. I forgot already.
I'm sorry, Uncle Mo is the greatest.
Been
well,
so long.
I believe Christy is almost on the line right now, and we're going to talk to the girls from thehorse.com. And, of course, you know, I'm really glad they brought up this topic because it is so important. With all the news stories that we've been reading about horses coming down with Eastern and Western equine encephalomyelitis, I mean, there's so many problems right now. And so I think vaccinations, you need a reminder of how important they are.
I saw more stories today, too. We got more states added to the list. New York had a case. California had a new case. So there's just all over the country now. We're seeing the various EEs coming out. So this is a good topic for today. It reminded me, we have to get our shots for Beaker. It did remind me of that, too.
Yeah, it's fall vaccination time. It's almost October. It is time to, you know, suck it up, call the vet out, or just go ahead and take your horses in, whatever you do. I'm interested to see what people do, too. And maybe we can make this into the question of the day, but how do you get your fall vaccines? Does your vet come to your house? Do you take your horse to their clinic? Do you just buy the vaccines at a local feed store? How do you get your fall vaccines? Maybe we could do that.
All right. And before we get to Christy and the horse, I wanted to remind everybody that in addition to vaccines, feeding your horse properly is probably one of the most important things you can do. And there's a company out there, a website that can help you do that correctly, and that's FeedXL.com. Go to FeedXL and just take a few minutes and put in the information about your horse and what your horse eats. And they're going to analyze all the different grains and feeds. They have like 3,000 of them in there. So they're going to break them all down, and they're going to give you a report that shows you whether your horse is getting too many of this vitamin, not enough of that vitamin, too much of this, too little of that. It's going to print out reports that will help you feed your horse properly. So if you're concerned about that, if you're not concerned about that, everybody really should stop by FeedXL. We were shocked when we got the reports back from Beaker, because, you know, we thought we'd been supplementing correctly, and we actually altered what we were doing when we did the report from FeedXL. So that's FeedXL.com to find out if you're feeding your horse correctly. And now it is time for...
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Well, good morning,
hey.
Christy.
How's it going?
Good. We're having fun here today. Hey, we got to talk to a bear wrangler. I mean, I know. She was terrific, too. What brave woman. Anyway, talk about brave women. You're the one that jumps out of airplanes for fun. Brave or stupid. We're not sure which yet. We're still trying to figure that out.
So, Christy,
we have Dr. Jones on here. And as Jamie said, we want to talk a little bit about fall vaccinations and find out what we need and what's important and what happens if you don't.
Always
well,
good to know the consequences.
Good morning, Dr. Jones.
I'd like to start off and just announce, for those that don't know, today is World Rabies Day.
Oh, I didn't know
Happy
that.
Happy World Rabies Day! Yay! Get a cake. I'm wearing a shirt. We got balloons. What? Rabies Day?
Yeah. Have a homepage, and I'm looking at right now, they have 70,000 people worldwide die each year from rabies.
Oh.
Wow, it's a party. Wait, no.
That's worldwide. And it cost the U.S. about $4 billion to control and take care of and eliminate.
Wow. You know, so we had that one day. In our barn, we had a raccoon. We went in the barn, and the raccoon was right there in the rafters above the horse on one of our stalls. We got the horse out. I shot the raccoon. We brought it in. Sure enough, it tested positive, and a couple of the horses had to be quarantined for a long time. It's serious stuff.
Yeah, and thank you for being responsible to take it in. A lot of people will shoot them and bury those raccoons, and they really need to follow up and have them tested, and they can, you know, just take it to the local health department, or maybe there's an animal control person, that kind of thing.
Well, it did not look good, Dr. Jones, and it took 7 shots to kill it, so that told me something was goofy with this raccoon. And
ooh,
that's what
my.
Happened. Yeah, that's so what
that
happened.
7
people
shots
don't realize
that all hit it?
Yeah, that all
yeah,
hit
it. Yeah, he's a bad shot. He's a bad shot. He missed big
no,
time.
Actually, I was shooting from about 10 feet, but he did not look good. You can tell. You can really tell, but even if you can't, you should bring it in.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, so tell us about the shots that we need in the fall.
Well, also, now that it's World Rabies Day, I'm going to also express that most people don't do their rabies in the fall because, you know, up north they'll do it when they're coming out of hibernation or coming out to start moseying around for breeding in the springtime. But that's no reason to say, oh, I'm just going to wait till the springtime to get it done if I've never had it done. So my 2 cents right now is if you don't have rabies, get it done. It won't hurt to get it now because you're going to be out enjoying this fall weather. You may run across some issues. So it's once a year vaccine, and I would recommend that you get it done.
And Dr. Jones, you know, my opinion on the whole rabies thing is, you know, it's what, $20, and you give the horse the shot, it's good for a year, and your horse, without the shot, will die. I mean, $20 to save your horse's life, and what we have a problem with here is, I mean, obviously we have coyotes and smaller animals like that, but there are also, and people forget about the bats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're feeding on the mosquitoes at night, taking care of your mosquito population, so they're around. So definitely keep that in mind. Now, the raccoons are the most common that people talk about because they run into the same situation that Glenn did. You know, they come in and there's that, you know, goofy-looking, not-quite-right raccoon in their barn or out in their pasture. So, yeah, absolutely. And then, unfortunately, he had to go through the quarantine. A lot of states or counties, depending on where you're at, may not quarantine your horse if you vaccinated and have proof of vaccination. So, you know, thank God they don't require the rabies tags and things like that to be put on your horse, but all you have to do is produce the vet invoice or call your vet, and they've got it on record. Most of them have digital software now, which is real easy to download and send off to you or to the animal control person.
So is this a booster, or is it something you need annually?
Annually, and there's a bunch of different types of rabies vaccines out there. We do use the dog and cat one at a higher dose that they call the 3-year vaccine. It's not good for 3 years in horses. This has not been proven. This is not knowledge base that's out there that you can wait 3 years to rebooster. It's an annual recommended vaccine.
Okay, good. Cool.
Absolutely. And there's a number of other vaccines that the AAP recommends as core vaccines. And I like the point that Aaron made earlier about, you know, if you haven't done it in the spring, then you very well may want to go ahead and do it in the fall, because, you know, my thought on this show is people always ask us what shot should my horse have in the fall, and the answer, of course, is it kind of depends as well on what they got in the spring. So
exactly.
It's not just a cookie cutter kind of thing. So, Aaron, can you tell us a little bit about the other core vaccine recommendations from the AAP?
Yes, the AAP has 4 of them listed as their core vaccine. Tetanus is an annual that the horses should get because of what they get into, barbed wire cuts, other cuts, stepping on things, just like we step on a nail and we have to get a tetanus shot. They can, you know, have abscesses in their feet, not from stepping on something, but that open abscess is an open environment to get into the bloodstream any of the tetani bacteria that could get in there. So the once-a-year tetanus, again, cheap insurance. Tetanus is everywhere in the environment. It's just cheap insurance to have that on board. And, of course, that's mixed in with a lot of vaccines, so most people are up to date on that one. Encephalitis, that's got over 95% mortality, meaning death, to the horses. Why not vaccinate for encephalitis? That one needs to be addressed, especially in the mosquito areas, the Gulf states who see mosquitoes year-round. We're doing it twice a year and sometimes up to three or four times a year, depending on outbreaks. I think they have a huge outbreak of encephalitis in Wisconsin right now going on. So, you know, it's probably those people up in the cold said, I'll get a little lax and not do their vaccinations this year, and they're coming down with horses with encephalitis. West Nile is the other one, and that one, we've seen it wane, go away, but we're just waiting for it to rear its ugly head again and become, you know, endemic again like it was when it initially came to the country. So those are the core vaccines, tetanus, encephalitis, which is the eastern and the western encephalitis, West Nile, and rabies. That's the basics that you absolutely should do for your horses.
All right. Very good. And there's a number of other vaccines that may be recommended depending on your area and depending on what your horse is doing. For example, equine herpes virus and flu are more recommended for horses that are traveling a lot to shows and, you know, group trail rides and things like that, correct?
Absolutely. Those are snotty noses. Those are the easiest things to discuss. The flu and the rhino, or the herpes, can go from horse to horse from a cough, a sneeze, saliva and snot left behind, mostly the snot left behind. And just a quick note, the rhino/herpes vaccine, that vaccine only covers respiratory in a certain dose, and then another dose will cover abortions and broodmares, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it will not protect for the neurologic form, which was the big outbreak in Ogden, Utah, with those horses that were down and couldn't get up and had neurologic deficits. It does transmit by nasal, by snotty noses and cough and sneezes, and become the neurologic form. But this vaccine by no means will guarantee your horse won't get the neurologic form, but you still can keep them from getting the snotty noses, which is a good idea, because that's how it's
done. We had a conversation yesterday, Dr. Jones, about EHB1, which reared its head in Tennessee.
Yes.
At the Dixie Stampede.
Yes.
So
we
had that conversation yesterday, and there was all kinds of debate about whether they should be continuing their shows and that. But that was one of the situations that come up. But, you know, we had done, and we referred back to it, we had done a really good job of talking about that at the time here on the show.
Yeah. And really, I mean, Dixie Stampede does a good job of their horses, and I can say that from being in the front line, because I did their horses when they were here in Orlando, and then they moved out. So it's just one horse might not handle the stress of being used in a show, and that's all it does is start to formulate this disease and get worse and worse. So, you know, it's not that anybody has bad management capabilities on their farm. It's just that some of them will be more stressed and come down with the diseases easier.
Right.
So anyway, the herpes/rhino is the same thing, and the flu, those are definitely ones that you see at the shows, trail riding, when you're mixing horses, basically, and you take them out of their normal atmosphere, kind of stress them, reduce their immune system a little bit. They're going to be more prone for those. And depending on how often you're traveling with your horse, talk to your veterinarian about how often you should be giving those vaccines.
Absolutely.
Now, Dr. Jones, you know, I have a question, too. My horse, just random, my horse is 12 years old, and he's always had a flu shot. But as he's gotten older, his allergy to the actual flu shot has gotten almost too severe to give him the shot. Last time he broke out in hives and had, like, couldn't breathe. I mean, it was really, really, really bad. He also has a needle allergy, so he has to get the silicone-free needles. So with a horse that's had the shot 12 years, you know, does he have enough in him to skip it for a year? I mean, when his reaction is so bad, would you suggest that, or would you suggest just milking him through the reaction?
I hate to say it, but no. The herpes/and the flu can come in different forms. And if you ever read the labels on these flu vaccines, they're kind of interesting because they'll tell you, you know, this takes care of the Kentucky one, this will take care of the Euro one. I mean, there's a bunch of different forms that are out there, and they feel if they get the most current form and the older ones are not covered, they're covering everything. And so it will change form. So even though your horse has had it in the past, doesn't mean that it's going to be protected for possibly a new change of the actual flu bug that's going around, the virus. My suggestion to you, do the flu intranasal. And that actually is good for a year in an adult horse.
Interesting. See, I didn't know that. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, the only thing I, you know, caution people on the flu intranasal, some horses get a bit, you know, upset with things going up their nose and getting sprayed. I like to do those intranasal vaccines when I've got them sedate for sheath cleaning or for dentals. So time your annual flu intranasal to your annual dental. And they'll be sedate for the dental. You can do the flu intranasal, and nobody gets hurt. Horse doesn't find it to be that offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay,
if you're doing strangles intranasal, then you'll have a conflict because you can't do both.
Can I throw something in here quick? Because you just mentioned sheath cleaning. I just looked at our numbers yesterday. The most listened to show on Horses in the Morning was the sheath cleaning episode.
I threw that in for your benefit, Glenn.
See, that's how sick awesome. You horse women are. That's all I'm saying.
You know, that was one of our company's most popular videos that month as well. It was in the top 3.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you know, I bet a lot of people don't realize that they should be doing the sheath cleaning that often. That's probably another reason for the interest.
Well, no, I think they just wanted to hear me and Barrett. That's what I think it was.
So I'm rolling into the other vaccine that we has as alternate vaccines, and that's strangles. And that is an intranasal and intramuscular form. Both forms can be used. The intramuscular does have some pretty severe side effects of pain in the area of the injection. Some of the horses get lame in their hind end. If you give it in the rear, they get very stiff necks. And it does protect, as well as the intranasal does protect. But the intranasal strangles cannot be given at the same time as the intranasal flu. I always try to do those as standalone vaccines if I can. It's just, you know, nowadays people are worried about the economy and their monies, and they're not willing to pay another trip fee for that. But if you spaced it out to a different month and did some other things with it, like sheath cleaning or dentals, you can definitely get that done without too much reaction from the horse.
Good. And there are a few other vaccines that may be recommended depending on your area, botulism being one that you is definitely recommended in Kentucky and some other areas. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, botulism and PHF, Potomac horse fever, and VEE, which is the Venezuelan encephalitis. Those are three that come to mind right off the bat as if you're in certain areas, your veterinarian may be recommending that. So let's say, you know, United States horse owners, we're moving around a lot anymore. And, you know, I'm writing health certificates for people who are moving from Florida to the west and Florida to up north and things like that. I always recommend to them that they should have their vet out, whichever vet they choose, for a first-time visit just to do a basic physical. It's worth the one-time fee of a basic physical and ask them what are recommended vaccines for this area so that you can budget for the next year. So, again, botulism, usually Kentucky for the babies, Potomac horse fever, Maryland area, the Venezuelan encephalitis, that's rampant in Mexico. So some of the bordering states of Mexico, such as Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, may be recommending the Venezuelan.
Right. And there are a couple other ones as well that the AAP lists as risk-based vaccines, anthrax, EVA, rotavirus.
Yes, and those are basically recommended based off of outbreaks or issues. EVA, they're resolving it very, very well, the USDA is. The EVA outbreak was pretty rampant by, I guess, a couple snuck into the country and somehow got by some of the testing phase. They're not quite sure yet how this happened, still looking into it. But if you are breeding and your mare is going to a stallion who is a known EVA shedder, and that means that they actually collected the semen, cultured it, found the EVA in the semen, then you need to vaccinate your mare prior to breeding to that stallion, or you will most likely get an aborted foal if you don't. It's not life-threatening to the mare. The only thing is it's just a little bit more of a headache. You have to do it so much time before you do the breeding. The mare needs to be quarantined because she can spread that EVA virus through her nose, and if she's out with other brood mares, she can cause possible abortion outbreaks. Things like that. So it's a little bit more problematic, but there are a lot of nice stallions out there that might be EVA positive, and it's just one other step you have to do. Again, talk to your veterinarian about setting that up.
All right, very good. And now, speaking of broodmares, we talked a little bit as we were planning the show about what things to do with broodmares in the fall, especially if you've got them breeding on the typical foaling in the early part of the year. So, Erin, what do you
think? Yeah, the broodmares are very important, and this kind of brings you to a thought process. Broodmares need extra vaccines besides their normal. You shouldn't skip their regular vaccine rotations because you need to have a healthy mare in order to have a healthy foal. At month 5 and month 7 and month 9, they should be getting an anti-abortion shot, is what we've been calling it for years. It's basically a herpes or a rhino shot. And you're thinking, why do I have to do it every 2 months? Because a vaccine really only lasts about 2 months. So going back to your herpes slash rhino for your snotty noses on those horses that are traveling, if you're a heavy traveler and you're on the road 3 to 4 months solid, showing, you may consider boosting that herpes or that rhino while you're out there, because the potential of it showing up at about three and a half months before you get back home might be there, because the vaccines stressed may not last the full time while you're out in the show, out in the showing circuit. So anyway, back to the broodmares. At month 5, month 7, and month 9, they need to get the anti-abortion shot, because that's when herpes will bring it, rear its ugly head in a broodmare and cause some herpes abortions. The other thing is, 4 weeks out from her due date, very important that you get encephalitis, the eastern and the western, tetanus, rabies, the flu, and the rhino slash herpes into a mare before she foals. And unfortunately on this one, you have to use the intramuscular flu. You cannot use the intranasal, because it has to get in the bloodstream, create the high titers so that the first colostrum for that baby, they get the highest amount of protection from mom for those diseases. It allows the baby to go on until they're about 5 months of age before they need their first set of shots. The other one you're going to want to add, botulism, if you're in Kentucky. You're definitely going to want to give botulism within the 4 weeks of her due date. And this is pretty important. If they have a late delivery, you might consider reboostering. If they tend to prolong maiden mares, sometimes they'll go a little bit later than their due date. I'd say anything over 6 weeks needs to be boosted.
Erin, you have a strategy for that.
Yeah, I kind of confided in Christy what I do. Human nature is, I don't tell my clients that the vaccines are good for 6 months. So those of my clients that are listening are probably getting a revelation. I tell them they're good for six weeks. I tell them they're good for 4 weeks, and I need to come back out and rebooster at week 5, because human nature will forget. So if when I vaccinate and the mare doesn't foal in 4 weeks, I tell the client to make an appointment in that 5th week. Sometimes they'll foal in that 5th week and everything's good to go. If not, we got to booster in before week 6 when they start to wane again. So mark it on your calendar if you got broodmares. Vaccines are given 4 weeks before due date. Count 4 weeks out. Circle it, big red circle. Did she have her foal here? If not, make that appointment with the vet to get out the following week.
Absolutely.
All right. You know, you guys just spent 20 minutes talking about what shots we need for all of these things. It's amazing any horse lives more than a year.
I've had that thought before.
It's like, oh my God, we just listed 20 things that we have to worry about our horses dying from. Of course, we have that same 20 things, but still, I mean, geez, it's like, oh. And like,
well, if you think about it, we get to go inside.
But
horses live outside 24/7, so they're exposed to these elements a heck of a lot more than we are.
That's true.
So you can go inside and get away from the mosquitoes, and you don't have to worry about encephalitis and getting, you know, any kind of booster on it. They also bug spray in subdivisions and, you know, highly populated area for those kind of mosquitoes. Here in Florida, we have a report form that if we have a suspect encephalitis case, this report form goes into the department, USDA, and then it goes on to the health department if it comes back positive, that horse died and it comes back positive, and they do more spraying in that area.
That's a Florida thing, by the way. That's a Florida thing. That doesn't happen here in Kentucky.
Yeah, you guys get the freeze and the frost, and they go away.
I had to call our local control officer because we were having an overabundance of mosquitoes. In my new house, so we called the people up. They put a They won't come and spray your property for free immediately, but they went out and they put some sort of mosquito trap. They take that back and they test it, and depending on if they find any West Niles or if they find any just an overabundance, they will come out and spray. And the spray is good for like a square mile.
Yeah.
And it's free to me.
Yeah, and so, it's free here too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you do have to consider, and since you brought it up, Glenn, I'm going to go ahead and expand on it, that horses are living out in this environment all the time. So when the West Nile outbreak came, I had a 25-year-old horse that died from West Nile, but was vaccinated. Now, granted, no vaccine is 100% good, but you also factor in this horse lived next to a swamp with no stall, just a three-sided lean-to. Now, the three-sided lean-to is okay if you could block them in during the mosquito feeding times and put a big fan on them so nothing lands on them. But if you are in an endemic area, meaning the virus is showing up a lot, like let's say Wisconsin right now with encephalitis, A, vaccinate, and B, try to provide an environment that they can get out of the elements so that your animal is protected, especially the aged and the young, just like the humans. The aged and the young are going to get sick easier than us in the middle.
Right.
Right.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, and
the challenge to your horse. I mean, if he's sitting out there getting 1,000 mosquito bites an hour from a bunch of infected mosquitoes, and he's got a compromised immune system because he's older or younger or whatnot, you know, just all about...
Yeah, or sick, you know, those that are sick. The Cushing's horses have decreased immune system. They're usually the aged horses as well. Metabolic diseased horses, those are usually younger or middle-aged horses. They will have some issues, too.
Well, you know, and I said that, but then I got to thinking about the headline I saw this morning, Listeria outbreak, deadliest in a decade. So we have a Listeria outbreak from cantaloupes. By the way, Jamie, throw away any cantaloupes you have in your fridge, because they were out of Colorado. And I wondered why when I bought a big fruit thing at the store yesterday, there was no cantaloupe in it, and then I saw that story this morning. So there's things out there trying to kill us, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you have many shots that you take every year.
Yeah, I do my Listeria shots every year.
Thank God. I'm sorry, you could not pay me to vaccinate myself twice a year. These poor dang horses, I mean, my God, we put them through enough, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But the third world countries, there's, you know, those who have traveled to there to do equitarian or humanitarian work have to get vaccines before they go, because they're going to be exposed to bugs that they've never been exposed to that are being carried by the, you know, the bugs in the element.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christy and Dr. Jones, thank you so much. We're playing run out of time again today. This is always fascinating every Wednesday. You can join us here. If you missed that Chief Cleaning episode we talked about, it was on 8/24. You can go to horsesinthemorning.com and take a listen to that. It seriously was the most downloaded episode we've had, which I'm embarrassed to say. thank you guys so much. And you can find more about this where, Christy?
At thehorse.com and also at the AAP's website. They have their vaccination guidelines posted, and I will share both of those links on the Facebook page.
All right, great. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Take care. You too. Thank you. Bye.
I think Dr. Jones was in the office with a fan right there. It must be hot in Florida today. Sounded like a fan going in the background. Hey, Jamie,
really
tomorrow morning, remind me, I want to ask you, because you had to bug out of the show early. We run out of time today. You had to bug out of the show early when you were getting your footing in.
I know. I'm so excited.
I want to see a picture tomorrow of your footing.
I'll show you a picture of the big pile of sand that is in my front yard right now, because they couldn't get the sand trucks, like, because my arena, they'd have to go around the back of the property and then drive around to the front because it's all fenced in and they couldn't fit through the gate. So there's a big giant pile, and then today the guy with the backhoe's coming to scoop it and then drive it back out there to the arena and dump it and come back and scoop it and then dump it and then scoop it and then dump it. And I'm glad I'm not doing it because that sounds like really boring work. But I will have potentially an arena by the end of the day.
Well, he's glad he's doing it because he's billing you by the hour. So he's...
No kidding.
Thank you, everybody, for your
sand. Oh, I was like, oh, he's serious? Oh, God.
Cat loves that pile. The cat loves it. Hey, we're going to be back again tomorrow morning. We have another great show planned for you tomorrow. So we hope you join us again at 9 a.m. Eastern. Don't forget, you can listen to all the recorded episodes of our show and all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. You just go to horseradionetwork.com. And a little teaser for tomorrow, I managed to get the winner of the 2010 Tevis Cup. John Crandall is going to come on with us. He's going to tell us what that was like, winning the hardest 100-mile race out there. And he has a little congratulations coming, Jamie, because John Crandall is also on the U.S. Pan American team. He's leaving very shortly to train for the endurance at the Pan American Games. in Mexico.
Wow.
So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning.
Awesome. It sounds great. Of course, you can listen to all of our shows. You just go to horseradionetwork.com or horsesinthemorning.com. I just went to horsesinthemorning.com, and in the little search thing, I put sheath. And any episode that we talked about sheath cleaning popped right on up. So you can go
That's
ahead
right.
and look at that. But thank you so much to Aaron Bolster of Swan Mountain Outfitters for joining us. Of course, thehorse.com. And everybody, enjoy your day and spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, we'll see you at Peelers, everybody.